Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. On July 19th, that's tomorrow, the iconic composer Philip Glass, at the forefront of contemporary music and art for more than five decades, will present a rare Hudson Valley concert to benefit the Garrison Institute. The Institute is located in Garrison, New York, housed in a renovated monastery on the Hudson River. The Garrison Institute concert is part of Glass's 75th birthday anniversary season, being observed with performances and events across the globe encompassing every facet of his long career as a preeminent American composer. Those include opera, chamber music, orchestra music, dance, theater works, and more. At the Garrison Institute, Glass will perform his own works and be joined by composer-pianist Trevor Gorecki and vocalist Tara Hugo, and they will perform Glass's musical settings of texts by Allen Ginsberg, Leonard Cohen, and others. The Garrison Institute is a non-sectarian organization whose mission is to apply the power of contemplation to social and environmental change. Proceeds from the Philip Glass concert will support the Institute's work. Philip Glass joins us now to talk more about it. Philip Glass, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you, sir. I'm pleased to be here.
Could you please tell us about the Garrison Institute and why it's important to you?
I was kind of around when it first became the Garrison Institute. Some very good friends of mine, Jonathan and Deanna Rose, were looking for a place to start. They had in mind a kind of academy, you can call it. I wouldn't call it a school exactly. A place where questions that had to do with personal development, with different traditions of training, of mind training, of training in ethics and morality, these kinds of things. The kinds of things which are terribly important for us in our lives, but which we don't, many of us don't take it serious enough to actually work at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But a place like this is a place where people come together and they talk about it. What is the work? What work do you do to make your life better, to make someone else's life better, to make everyone else's life better? The Garrison Institute is really devoted to that. It has a, I would say, a Buddhist bias, but I wouldn't say that it's exclusively that. I haven't looked at all the programming, but I know that from the people involved, that it's not a narrow point of view, it's a broad one. So I was there when it was still a monastery. When I was there, it was a Capuchin monastery when we went to visit it, maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a remarkable place because it sits right on the edge, right. It looks right over the Hudson. It's Garrison is about 50 miles from New York. It's not that far. It's an hour away. But it's a beautiful view of the Hudson from there. And I guess it would have been a great hotel. I mean, I don't know what they would have done, but something like that. But, of course, what its destiny was to go a little deeper than that kind of thing. And I think that it has turned out to be a splendid place. And I know a number of people who teach there and any number of people who go there. And I've been there myself from time to time. Interesting people on all sides. So I thought it was an opportunity, but I always was interested in playing there. This was just the time that it came up. Originally, when we were first there, there was an actual organ that was working, and I actually played it, and, you know, you can play it then. And when this concert came about, one of the possibilities was playing the organ, but it turned out that no one played it since I played it the last time.
So wow.
It wasn't working anymore. But at any rate, I have a piano, but I'm bringing with me two very talented people, Tara Hugo, a singer, Trevor Gorecki, who is a composer, but also quite a good pianist. They've worked out some songs based on only my songs, really, with text by Ginsberg, Allen Ginsberg, and
mm-hmm.
Leonard Cohen, and some that Tara has contributed. And they've made a very nice program. I'll be playing piano. They'll be singing after that. So that's what it is. It's really a celebration. It's a fundraiser.
Right.
I think that there'll be some. We expect that there'll be some financial benefit for the Institute, which is important. But it's also a celebration.
Speaking of celebrations, this whole year and continuing for the rest of this year has been a celebration of your 75th birthday.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for the celebrations to stop.
I mean, you know,
for most people, one birthday a year is enough. it's like I've had it going on all year, and yet it's unavoidable. Once this thing started to happen, for some reason, 75 is the year that people hit on. They like that year, and if you get to be 75 and and enough people care about it, it can be quite a long year. But I wasn't going to be the grouch who said, I don't like birthdays. And everybody was having a birthday party for me. So we kind of left the door open, and it's still open. And we're even counting this concert as part of my 75th birthday year, which I'm happy to do.
Having said that, having noted that you have many, many events in your honor throughout this year and always, you are constantly traveling all around the world. Do you foresee a time when you'll want to slow that down, or do you just want to keep going and working and traveling?
Well, you know, I'm very busy now. I still, I still can put in a 10-hour day without any trouble. It's not a problem at all. Those are the kind of work days I like. 10 plus hours is what I like, and I can do that. I'm thinking, I'm going to be modest about it, I'm thinking about another 10 years of being active. And if I can do that, I'll be very happy. Bobby, if you talk to me in 10 years from now, I'll say, give me another 10 years, you know. Uh-huh. But, you know, we don't know anybody. No one knows how these things are going to work out. Right now, I'm playing as much as I ever have, and I'm writing music, and I'm seeing earlier pieces being performed that I hadn't heard in years, and one of the things I found out about being an opera composer is if you live long enough, you get to hear your pieces over again. It's a very slow business, but you know, 30 years of writing operas, and some of them start coming back. So that's starting to happen, and it's all interesting. I find that I've always been in a direction which I've picked out for myself. I've had colleagues, of course, who are wonderful composers of my generation. And there are similarities, but the differences are probably more interesting than the similarities. But I find that I'm still interested in what I'm doing. I'm also interested in what younger people are doing. The computer generation, the composers who haven't touched a pencil and paper for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those, but most composers don't. I'm still writing with pencil and paper, but I'm very interested in young composers and a new world of music, which I feel we're in the midst of discovering. And it comes up like this. I'm old enough to remember 50 years ago and what it was like in the late 50s and early 60s when we had the McCarthy years and the un-American activity years and all. America was really in bad shape at that time, really. Yeah. I mean, and now I look around and here we have dysfunctional parts of our government, and I don't want to go into that. Everyone's talking, I don't have to talk about it anymore, but it's a very, we're in the grip of a very dark time, in my opinion. And you know what we got out of the last time? We got a tremendous growth and buoyancy and liveliness in the arts came out of that. The whole world of Allen Ginsberg and the Beatles, that came out of that. And the new music came out of that. All kinds of things came out of that. And it just seems that in these times when things are really tough, not just economically, but socially, and people are trying to tell each other what to do and insisting on their points of view, and very little listening going on, just a lot of bossing around and making it a very difficult time. And this is what's going on now. And yet I'm absolutely sure that that we're seeing the birth of young artists and their work, and I think that society has a way of correcting some of its problems all by itself, the way a river can clean itself up. I think it's in the arts and the sciences, for that matter, and in environmental sciences and biological sciences and physical, all those things. This is a very, very interesting time. I'm glad I've lived long enough to see it twice. And for that reason, I have an unusual amount of optimism, which most people don't have. But if you've lived through it before and said, "Oh, that was really terrible. That was a terrible time," and we got through that, and we had some very good years, and then it's just the pendulum, the way that works. We all know that.
Philip Glass, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today, and have a wonderful concert in Garrison.
Thank you. You're always welcome.
Philip Glass will play a benefit concert for the Garrison Institute on July 19th, that's tomorrow, at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. The Garrison Institute is located in Garrison, New York. Tickets and information available at garrisoninstitute.org/glass or by calling 845-424-4800. The website again is garrisoninstitute.org/glass. The phone number again, 845-424-4800. The concert is co-sponsored by Chronogram Magazine and WMHT. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.